Bible verse this morning. And basically, we are joined to continue the discussion that we started off earlier with David, when we were discussing the issues that surround this whole sandal debacle. Sandals has been a big, controversial situation that reared its head about 2.5 years ago, when the Prime Minister, after he won the election, indicated to the country that tourism was going to be taken a front burner, and that he wanted us to know that prior to him getting into office, he had already done some groundwork in agitating the interests of the Sandals group by talking to Mr. Stewart. That, of course, led into a numerous number of things, including initially a kind of presentation by him, giving an impression that Trinidad and Tobago was luring the best in this kind of business because of their pedigree. They were, of course, a Fortune 500. They were the only company in the Caribbean that was doing this all-inclusive. They had the track record. They were in the business for in excess of 20 years. And all of those things started to fester a lot of different discussions, including Caribbean discussions. And in the Antiguan and Barbados debacles, you would have known with two new leaders coming to the table, I guess including the Barbadian, when Mia Motley made the very pronounced statement that she couldn't understand what the hell was going on. How do you treat one person this way and another one another way? That led, of course, to a lot of questions from Trinidad Tobago, and Afrari was one of the persons that really tried to work within the framework of the system provided by the country, in that freedom of information, we are entitled to it, we don't have to beg for it, it shouldn't be a secret. Irrespective of whether petrochemical or otherwise, it should be an open book. Because we are the citizens of the country and we should know what the hell is going on. People in the government who knows about it today, who is to say they want to keep it a secret. When they leave, whether you're in opposition today or in government today, you know what the hell was there. So I don't understand what is this big token data situation. But obviously, after a long process of having to engage legal to get to the point of the MOU and before the court made their jurisdiction and gave their guidance, of course the government quickly ran to the table and said, look, the MOU. So I just wanted to open with that, and I want to just welcome Afra and say, hey, welcome. Thanks a lot for taking time on their busy schedule, but I know this is a thing close to you, like this year.
Yes, well, thanks very much, Robert, and thank you, David, and thank you for More FM for having me on the program this morning to have a discussion on this important issue, and thank you to the listeners for your attention.
Well, we're going to start with you. I mean, at the end of the day, we now have a situation where Sandals has said, hey, bye-bye, we're gone. But does that really close the book, or does that just open the book now?
What I would like, ideally, is for Afra to spend just a couple minutes charging the history. I know you just did most of it, but I particularly want his perspective to go to our audience as to how we got from there to where we are now, to the announcement that we had a few days ago, and then we could discuss some of the other issues that come out of that and what we should be looking forward to.
Right. So what we had is starting point for the discussion, really. The kind of the central point from which we could discuss is the 10th of October 2017. And that point is very interesting because at that stage, the government, the current administration, the PNL administration, have been in office just about 2 years. And at that point, the MOU was signed. We can also look backward. This is a Sankofa moment. I call it a learning moment where we look backward to inform ourselves as we go forward. We use a phrase of the Ashanti in Ghana, the Sankofa principle philosophically. Now, we can look backwards from the 10th of October 2017, and we look back to the 30th of June 2016, at which time the Prime Minister, Dr. Rowley, announced the appointment of a high-powered negotiating team to discuss the Sandals, with Sandals, the framework of the agreement. That team was chaired by Mr. Wendell Gabriel, who is a former Minister of Finance, somebody of high esteem. Mr. Motley recently was the single recipient of the country's highest national award in the Republic Day. Was recently.
Yes.
Another person on that committee was Dr. Terence Farrell, a reputable economist, and he's also an attorney at law, social commentator. There was also Professor Dr. Rolf Balgobin, former head of the UB Business School, former Angostura chairman and CL chairman and so on, former independent senator. And that negotiating team that Dr. Rowley announced on the 30th of June 2016, I believe they have some questions to answer. Because the deal that has now emerged as a result of my litigation, that deal emerged on the 29th of November of 2018. That deal that has now emerged, the MOU that was now published, discloses terms. Somebody asked me in media when it was published, were the terms favorable? I said they were extremely favorable, but they were all favorable. The first sentence, that's the only problem I had, because I can't see in my mind how we could have agreed a contract with those terms. And I could outline for listeners, because David, you asked me to outline it, and I would have to do so succinctly. I can outline for listeners. The deal that was put together was one in which the government of Trinidad Tobago, our treasury, was going to be paying to build these two resorts. In respect of tax and duty, clause 8 of the contract actually says that the government of Trinidad Tobago intends to grant tax and duty concessions to Sandals. The term of the agreement was 25 years, with an option to renew for a further 15 years. So it's a total of a possible 40 years we're discussing. In addition, Sandals was under, or what the organization is, was under no obligation to employ any locals. There was a phrase, which I call it a throwaway phrase, which is said they would give preference to Trinidad and Tobago nationals. But that was followed by a supplementary phrase that said any hiring was at their sole discretion. The government had a corresponding obligation, all government business had a corresponding obligation to grant as many work permits as required. Read the writing on the wall. So you have no guarantee or quota in terms of employment. You have no guarantee or quota. The other thing that was important as well, listeners, is that a hotel on the scale of that Sandals resort, which would have been 800 to 900 rooms, would have had a tremendous amount of consumables, eggs and milk and meat and cheese and all kinds of things that they need. And in fact, there is no requirement also on them that they have to source those things from a local market. There's a throwaway phrase about preference to local thing, but of course that is subject to things about quantity and quality and competitive price, which means that they can always find a way to buy it from their people. Because they have their own arrangements and it's an established organization.
Not only that, remember there's an all inclusive too, so
yes,
really
make all for the resort, yeah. The point, absolutely good point, Robert. And the point is that we don't have, as far as I could see, any way to recover that $3 million. Because you have no employment guarantees, you have no trading guarantees. It doesn't appear that there's any way you're going to make money on taxes or duty because you've agreed, you have an intention, you're going to negotiate that away. Okay, you have no goods and services guaranteed to supply within the local economy. So in fact, I shake my head at a statement in this morning's paper. I'm going to call some names. The politicians are shy about calling names. I'm not. This morning's paper, unless the paper is reporting it wrong, on page 9 of today's Newsday, Minister Randall Mitchell is one of the new young ministers in the cabinet, and we know each other and so on. But I don't know if this is correct. Mitchell said the Sandals MOU was a non-binding document, so far so good, about which there was nothing undoable. But blow me down. I would ask you, Mr. Mitchell, respectfully and firmly, I'm asking you, show me another country in the world where these terms have been agreed. Where, in fact, the government is building everything. They're collecting no taxes, they're collecting no duty, there's no guarantee of employment, there's no goods and services being acquired in the local market. Show me another one, Mr. Mitchell. Nothing undoable. Blow me down. This must be an error.
I saw the release, we have no guarantees as to the total cost.
Yeah.
Well, Africa has been thrown out of $500 million.
Yeah.
But halfway through the development, it's discovered that it's going to cost $700 million.
Now,
Africa, one of the things that's interesting is that same minister, sent out a press release indicating that the value of the tourism product in Trinidad at present, with all of its rooms, is $551 million.
What does that mean? I'm not sure.
It's total gross income.
Yes.
$551
million. Okay.
And that Trinidad and Tobago government only benefits 10% from that.
Okay, so there's a 10% tax or something.
Correct. So, $50
million. Yes.
Now, if the Minister of Finance went to the House in the budget this year and said, I want to let you all know, Foundation to discuss the financing of this or how we're going to recover our money. So they've avoided the subject. And it's taken people like ourselves to raise the subject. And instead of getting answers to it, we get personally vilified. You know, so-called experts, pontificators, etc.
Armchair.
But no answers. Absolutely no answers to the question. And these are, you know, these are about the most basic questions that you would ask about an investment. How much is it going to cost me? How much am I going to make out of it every year in return? And how long will it take for us to get back our money and possibly turn a profit? Simple, basic questions to which we've had no answers. And when we attempt to do projections, to do any kind of analysis, we criticize because we're misinformed.
But I think Afra's point is very important, not to depart from them. Three very high-powered intellectual people of Trinidad and Tobago were commissioned by the Prime Minister to sit on a steering committee to make a decision to guide this process.
But
three, Terence Farrell and Balcoben, are at this stage.
Coming out of that committee seems to have disappeared.
It has disappeared.
Until it went very, very quiet.
But the question is not that. The question is, you put these people there. You say, am I going to take Malcolm Jones off when the issues arise? And you say, well, okay, the man has served you, Yonko could do it. He has never yet, we have never yet one day heard from the Prime Minister whether this committee has been disbanded. But today we don't know. It's still a work in progress.
Yes. But you see, the point is that I am not aware of whether that committee made a report or recommendations. I merely mentioned as a fact that they were announced as having been appointed. Okay? And of course, there's a current group. Let me talk about the current group now. That if you look at the media currently, forget the first group, Mr. Motley and Dr. Farrell and Dr. Balgobin. There's a current group that they call a cabinet appointed negotiating team.
Wow.
In the recent pictures, the last year or so, when these hunters people come down here, they take pictures and so on. If you look at all over the photos, I'll tell you, not cabinet people, here we're talking about. There's Conor Dennell, my friend, former CEO of Eastern, former Minister of Finance, former Minister of Energy, former Chairman of the PLM, very eminent. And Mr. Wilfred Espine, who was Chairman of Petrofin, as we know, and he's now Chairman of some of the successful companies and so on.
TCL.
Previously of TCL and a successful businessman in his own rights. And those are five eminent names I'm calling. And I want to ask the question. I'm not being facetious. I'm very serious. They're eminent names. I don't associate those names with nonsense. I'm asking a question. Gentlemen, did you recommend or approve those terms?
I hear you.
If you did recommend or approve those terms, come out and say so.
Yeah.
And explain why it's a good deal.
Yeah.
If it is your right, if it is your deal, maybe that you recommended something else and the cabinet took a different road. We have to wonder, what advice did the cabinet take to approve those terms? These are disastrous terms for our country. And what is signal about the moment? Because we have to do timelines. I started off giving a timeline bouncing backward and forward from the 10th of October 2017. We have to use a timeline to understand that the MOU was published, listeners, at the end of November 2018. We are sitting in the studio talking today in Port of Spain in the middle of January of 2019. 6 weeks have passed since the MOU was published. The terms were disclosed and the people who are promoting this, the members of cabinet and the people who are named in the advisory groups and so on, we have not heard anything resembling a solid defense of the terms of the agreement. I don't want any personal primary school yard attacks about calling people names, and I don't want anything like that. I don't want to hear that dark silence. I don't want to hear that same song again. If I hear the same song, I'm going to go insane. I want to hear the people conservatives defend your deal. I want to hear you get up on your back feet and defend your deal on the terms of the agreement. Do you really honestly believe that having an agreement with 0% employment for our people in Trinidad and Tobago, our young people, our hotel school, is a good deal? It's better than 10%. I think 10% would be better than 0%. What do you think?
And you know what? But you have to add to that equation. When you did make mention of us publishing the paper, Donald Mitchell, both George Young and Randall Mitchell, and even Sanders, CEO,
yes.
Started off by saying, making a comment that we did not even reach to the stage of having a discussion to put pen to paper about what the footprint was without accepting the responsibility that there is a memorandum of understanding that guides that these are what are going to be the guiding principles that get us to the next level. So if those principles are shot, if you want to say it, if they fail, only help you get to the next point.
But you see, that also highlights some of the inconsistencies in the statements they make when they do make statements. Because up until recently, you had a I think it was the Prime Minister and Stuart Jones saying that an agreement would have been signed in December. By December.
But that is correct. In December.
Right. That's a statement of fact. It has not happened. And they have not seen fit to give us an explanation as to why it hasn't happened. Instead, you get one minister, in fact, the Prime Minister, hinting, not stating, hinting that the deal might be off. You get Stuart Young, Minister of Communications, following that up by saying, no, you've got it wrong. It's not off. It's still on. We're still negotiating. And then comes along a few days later and says, do they know? Do they know what is going on? Do they talk to each other? And how can we trust what comes out of their mouths as a result?
Well, I think that is a bigger future deliberation. Can we really trust these administrators in regards to what they tell us? More so when you look at the recent butchering of the budgetary allocations to provide the Minister of Finance with $500 million to PW grant. It really questions the allocation of resources, the utilization of money, and the prioritization of the people in the country versus the politicians that lead.
But have we got time for a few questions from our listeners?
We can take some calls. 6-8-9-5-9-5-6-8-31-31. Let's see. All right, be ready. Right, good morning. Hey, my buddy, how are you going? Right, so let's start there. What's the question?
Minister of Finance took to wind up and liquidate the sale group. He did
happens is that Mr. Dupree's case sort of ground a halt because he had a high power team. I think he had 2 cells. He had Ramesh Maharaj, who was a former attorney general under the UNC. He had Mr. John Jeremy, senior counsel, who was attorney general under the PLM. He had a number of junior lawyers. And Katana Long, sorry short, he failed to pay them based on political analysts at Dupree. And it was kind of comical because he was claiming on the one hand that he had raised enough money to be able to buy back and rescue the company. But on the other hand, he couldn't pay his lawyers. So the whole thing kind of crashed. Because a lot of these things don't survive an encounter with broad daylight or truth, just like this thing.
Good morning.
Should be told something. I mean, don't we ask in a lie?
should come to the country and say, we did not give that advice to the government.
We never did a report.
We never did a report. Are we happy with that? At least we know where we stand. But you sit down in Abiyans in a corner, and it's the same thing that happened with maybe Bailara. Started off at 280, go to 400, go to 6, go to 9, and then Abiyan.2. So somebody got to do the checks, and I asked the Prime Minister this once. I said to him, I said, Prime Minister, how come you would allow a project, and we're not talking about petrochem, to get to the level where the people who are employed on the board making a decision for the patrimony of the country? When is it going to stop? And he gave me again a BS talk. And the same thing I told him about the issues, about cost overrun and liquidators and things. He said, don't worry, we're taking a look into that. And after that day, I mean, we're still paying liquidators and we're still paying receivers and where are the money coming from?
Unfortunately, Robert, it's been such a wonderful exposure. We're almost out of time.
Yes, yes.
I want to thank Afra for being here, and I just want to make one comment that both Afra and I have done a lot of articles on this, and we both have our blogs, and I will let you know what those blogs are. Afra's is afraraymond.net. Mine is straighttalktt.com, and you can find all of our
work. You've got a wrong email, are they?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
All right, people, we want to say thanks to both David and Afra. It's been a pleasure. I mean, I thank you for all that you're doing. I know it has to be, you know, a price to pay, because at the end of the day, when you walk the road, if you receive random picture, you might push it straight.
That's how much we should answer.
But people, just stay tuned. We'll keep you posted on all the things that are happening. When we come back,